The opinions expressed in the Keeping It Sporty podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Keeping It Sporty podcast. As always, you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, or on our website at keepingitsporty.com. On today's episode, I am joined by a very special guest. She is an award-winning podcast producer, speaker, author, and entrepreneur. She is also the founder of Lead Podcasting, a full-service podcast production company that develops podcasts for every type of person and even organizations. I welcome onto the podcast today, Amanda Cupido. Amanda, how's it going?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure, Amanda. My pleasure. Now, there is somebody else you wanted to introduce as well. Sumi?
What yes, do we it's Simmy. It's
Simmy,
my little
Simmy, I'm
chihuahua.
Sorry.
If
oh,
you're
so
watching
cute.
the video, you will see this stuffed toy like animal who is just perched. She's always on my lap, actually, for 90% of my meetings and interviews. So she's here wanting to take part too, but she's a silent participant.
Oh, that's great. Oh gosh. Well,
Yeah.
it's kind of funny that you bring that up because I was actually helping someone else and doing a podcast with them yesterday, and they had a dog, and I just in the middle of the podcast I heard and the dog just started barking everywhere, and it was
Oh
kind
my
of
gosh.
funny. So but it made for a nice talking point as well. So it was
Yeah,
quite the
you gotta
moment.
lean into it when that happens. Yeah.
100%. 100%. So Amanda, before we kind of delve into discussing media and the podcasting world, I wanted to talk just a little about sports, just to kind of tie it back in there.
Of course.
You had mentioned to me that you grew up playing certain sports as well. So why don't you describe maybe a little bit about that and tell me where you went to school, what you majored in, a little background about yourself, just to begin.
Sure thing. So I grew up in the GTA area just outside of the city of Toronto. And my family was a big sports family. We were big fans of the Leafs, grew up watching hockey. I was also a competitive figure skater for many years, but my real love was playing soccer. And I played competitive soccer starting at like 10 years old and moved all the way up to getting a scholarship to attend Toronto Metropolitan University, which is where you and I have crossed paths. But so my background is in journalism. I went to that school and it was great because that was my first choice from a journalism school perspective. And then to be able to get the scholarship to be on the women's varsity soccer team, it was an amazing overlap. And it was just really my ideal situation. And so from a young age, I knew I wasn't going to pursue being a pro athlete, but I always knew I wanted to play on a varsity team. And so I really did get my chance with, at the time, the Ryerson Rams. And so during this time, I was studying journalism, studying radio, podcasting was becoming, you know, it was emerging. I mean, the first podcast came out in 2004, but at this time, it was shortly after that, and I was dabbling with the medium. I made my first podcast in 2010 while I was at school, but doing an internship with a magazine. And so from a soccer perspective, it's very interesting, like the Canadian post-secondary sports situation. And, you know, just how many differences we have between Canada and the U.S. when it comes to like pursuing sports, even within a post-secondary institution. It's quite different. Anyway, all of this to say is that like at that time, Toronto Metropolitan University didn't have a soccer field. So we would be using a high school soccer field to practice and play our games on. We didn't have a dedicated hockey rink for our hockey team. Now that's been fixed. But, you know, like, getting green space in the city was really tough. So I was really happy to have played soccer for my first year as a varsity athlete. I then transitioned to working for the sports and recreation department for the rest of my years at the university. So lots of love for that community. But then my journalism career was really taking off and that had to take the precedence. So, and I think that's kind of where I was at odds a bit with the coach, where I was missing things because I was getting great opportunities to be on air or, to pursue really great, you know, potential work situations and opportunities. And that's where I have to really make a choice. And I went, all right, well, soccer's fun. And I know that probably I'm not going to be doing it at this level for all of my days, but telling stories, telling audio stories, that's something I do hope to continue doing for the rest of my life. And so I really focused on that. And anyway, I ended up, after graduating, I spent some time working in major market radio. I was a producer, reporter, news anchor, and at the same time making podcasts on the side. And then I wrote a book in 2018 called Let's Talk Podcasting, The Essential Guide to Doing It Right. Yes, you have a copy. This is the second edition.
I was going to touch on it after. Yes, I had a question about that as well. So we'll come back more to that after. Sorry, continue. Yes.
Amazing. No, I'm trying to fast track it all, but it's interesting. I've never really told my whole bio with sports intertwined. But anyway, the book, I'm trying to hit the milestones now. The book, I started teaching podcasting. I came back to teach at TMU, which was a really beautiful full circle moment for me. I then also went to teach at Seneca Polytechnic, where I'm teaching now, and launched my company in 2020, Lead Podcasting. So, yep, we're an agency that creates podcasts, and that's the high level thing. And now to this day, I still play a lot of sports. So I've sustained a couple of injuries even in my adult soccer league. So I've been paused on soccer for a bit. It is hard on the knees, but still have a love for the game. And I've traveled the world with my work. I did also do a small, not a small, I did a stint with a nonprofit organization, World Vision. And just to put a bow on the sports side of things, so I've traveled to like Myanmar, Jordan, Cyprus, like, really this job took me around the world. It was incredible. And even in, areas where I didn't speak the language, sports is a connector. And soccer, no matter where you are, including in a refugee camp, that is something that people come together to play and find joy in. And so when I was in a refugee camp in Jordan, soccer was how I bonded with the people, with the Syrian refugees living there. And I think that is so special. And the fact that also that a woman was being able to play at a, they could tell I knew what I was doing. And I think that really impressed them, because it's not, the gender equality isn't necessarily across the board, especially when it comes to sports. And so I was happy to role model that in some of the places that I got to visit. So sports continues to be a really, especially soccer still has a special place in my heart.
Well, yeah, they say sports really does unite everybody. I mean, it's really kind of that universal language, one of the most popular, if not the most popular sports in the whole world, that people like to play and really enjoy and enjoy playing. So I think that's great that you really bonded with everyone through sport. And it was kind of another full circle moment, I suppose, in your maybe sport playing career as well.
Yeah, for sure. And like how the two kind of always have overlapped and intermingled. Yeah, I never really thought of it that way, but it's true.
So I wanted to get more into your job now, because you mentioned, of course, Lead Podcasting is the business that you founded. Describe maybe a little bit what that job entails for you, maybe how it began, and what kind of led you down that path.
So, I mean, I kind of hinted at that I started my first podcast in 2010. I've loved podcasts for a long time. So I always say this is an audio nerd's dream come true, what is happening right now with the industry, but something that I always predicted and kind of thought would happen, and here we are. So I was making one for an online magazine at the time, and then as I graduated, it was word of mouth. There wasn't a lot of like for hire podcast producer, even the title podcast producer, I wasn't leaning into. I was calling myself a media coordinator because I was just like making up titles, and I would say I could help you coordinate your podcast. And what I would do for people is like pre-interview their guests, create like a show outline, and then I would edit episodes. And this was like a service I started providing just kind of ad hoc, and people would share my name, and I kind of built up this roster of clients just organically like this. And so all the while I was working in journalism, then I transitioned into those more communications and roles. I also spent some time at a video agency. So I was really continuing to push my storytelling chops forward in my day-to-day, but then on the side, push the boundaries of this audio medium that I was so intrigued by, and have the two kind of intertwine as I went along. And so when I was working at World Vision, I spent almost 5 years at that organization, and it was a really wonderful experience because what I like to call myself was an intrapreneur, which is where you have like entrepreneurial ideas within an organization. And that they really did embrace that. And I created multiple podcasts for them during that time. I did trainings, and it allowed me to, again, help them, for a legacy organization, really lean into some innovative storytelling ideas. But it also allowed me to do some, to see what worked and what didn't. And I was like putting things out there, and I was tweaking as I went along. And anyway, the pandemic hit in 2020, and that's when I just took the plunge. I think so many people made big life decisions in that year, but I ended up leaving my job, as difficult as it was, because I loved it, and started my business. And so the book that I had written obviously helped with my leadership profile that I was building. And at that point, too, I was getting a lot of requests for podcasts, and I was actually going, you know, I don't want to have to turn people away. And so once I announced, hey, I'm for hire, I actually just started as a freelance. I said, let me just try freelance. And within, I announced I was going to be doing freelancing in July of 2020. By September, I incorporated my business. And by March 2021, I hired my first full-time employee. So we grew very fast. And like the appetite was there, which was very affirming. And we've been growing ever since.
Yeah, it's quite the story. And you describing how rapidly the growth was is definitely quite something. Now, I was wondering, what does a day in your life look like? I mean, how do you think it really changes from day to day? Is it maybe similar on one day, similar on the other? I mean, what does it look like for you?
Yeah, it definitely changes day to day. Usually in seasons, I'll have some sort of routine. I say some sort of because it's light. I mean, so when I'm teaching, of course, that's going to be a day that I'm spending at the school. So depending on what that day is, looking ahead to January now, in January 2025, I am teaching on Mondays. You know, like that's my teaching day. And then there's a lot of emails. I'm definitely not in production on shows most of the time. I have a team of managers and then producers. So they're really the ones that are day in, day out, which actually I miss a little bit. Like I liked producing, but I am there to, number one, support my managers, who are then supporting the rest of the team. So my business development lead and my production managers. So that's my real, like, number one. And if there's a fire, I'm helping them. So supporting them as in their leadership roles. I'm also speaking a lot, which is exciting. So I've gone to, you know, probably around 10 or 12 conferences in 2024. Just speaking about internal podcasting, which is a big trend for organizations to have podcasts within that are private. I'm also speaking about podcasting for business growth, these sorts of topics. So it's very likely that at least a day a month, I'm, you know, off the grid because I'm at a conference and just soaking it in and speaking from the stage. And then there is also like me inking deals myself and bringing in business. So there's a lot of times where my business development lead will take all the calls from the website and inquiries. But then there's people who know me and who are from my network and will reach out. Or it will be a more complex estimate that we have to put together. And sometimes we're coming up with pricing for things like that didn't exist before. For instance, AI voice dubbing. We are just working on a project where we're using AI to dub a podcast that's in English to make it in French and Spanish. But what do you charge for AI voice dubbing? You know, like this is a line item that didn't exist even a couple months ago. So being able to really do research, test out some of this these like processes, and then come up with a pricing model, you know. And this is where I think I'm really pushing the boundaries of the medium and trailblazing, because but both as an entrepreneur and as a podcaster, because there's so much technology that's advancing, and that's the exciting part. I love doing that.
Well, you know, it's interesting you mentioned the AI voice dubbing. So I'm not sure, a few days ago, Spotify Wrapped came out for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an AI feature of it, and it was a 3-minute clip, and it said powered by Google, and it was a little mini podcast episode about my song choices.
Did you like it? Did you listen to it?
I did. I listened to the whole 3 minutes. I said, this is the coolest and craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because I figured it was something that I'd never seen before, but yeah. Also, It's just how?
I know.
It's like mind blowing, right? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how it's possible to do that.
Well, and for someone like you who's in this space too, like this is the kind of thing that is only going to become more and more prominent. And it's like, how does that intersect with what I do and what I love to do? And how that's only going to become more, right? Like bigger. And those, if you haven't listened already, like it does, it sounds like two humans or co-hosted or single hosted. I don't know what yours ended up looking like, but
It was
it's just,
co-hosted, yeah.
yeah, co-hosted. So they're like having a conversation, and these are bots. And so, and they sound real. Like you would not have known unless someone told you. And so I think what they're doing, and it's very interesting, one, the capabilities, the technological capabilities are there to have bots host a podcast and have it be good. And have jokes and have personalities. Like the tech is there. But this in North America, and I'm prefacing this because globally it's quite different, but in North America, audiences are not ready for that. Like socially, it's not acceptable. So if someone was like, oh, this is a human hosted podcast, this is an AI hosted podcast, which one are you choosing? People are choosing human. They might check out the AI and then they'll be like, whoa, and go back to their human, right? So this is the fact that they kept it super short. The fact that they linked it to something that we knew so many people were already going to do. People love their Spotify Wrapped. This is them like toe testing the water, just dipping a toe in to see, can this make AI voices even a teeny bit more socially acceptable? And I think they've done it. Like, I think the answer is yes. You just could agree that it was enjoyable. People are talking about it. In places like Korea, this is already like widespread. They already have influencers and celebrities that are bots, and people are showing up to concert halls to see a projected bot image perform. Like, so we're a little bit behind in the social acceptance, but if you look there, we just know like it's coming. So what does that mean for audio? I mean, that's a whole other discussion. But yes, there's gonna be some big changes to the industry for sure.
Yeah, and that kind of leads me into my next point or question is how has this digital and/or maybe emerging technology kind of impacted your position and your day-to-day role, would you say?
I think it's constantly impacting my role. Like every day, there's something that is coming up. I am more have a positive mindset about all of this. I know there's a lot of people freaking out, and I do think that it is valid for some for freak out. Like it's change, and changes can be scary. I get it. But for me, I think first off, I was coming out of journalism school. Like let's like rewind and I was coming out of journalism school when social media was becoming a thing that people started taking seriously, right? And so there were so many people who were like, Twitter is the death of journalism. People can tweet anything and publish their own things. Like everyone was scared that social media was going to take their job away or social media was going to, you know, change everything. And I really was the one who was like, well, let's just play around and see what it can do. And I was really excited by it. And I was the one who was going into radio stations and being like, oh, you don't have a Twitter account? I'll set that up for you. Actually, here's another fun fact, tie into sports. I set up the original Ryerson Rams Twitter account. Like I was hired at the Varsity Sports and they didn't have social channels. And I was like, I think you guys should have it. And I was the one who created,
Oh.
yes, I created Eggie the mascot, which was again our former mascot. Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook page. I made that account, those accounts. I made Ryerson Rams at Ryerson Rams on Twitter, right? So, like, I was the one saying, I think it's time. Like, let's make them. What do you want the picture to be? And so I was already in this zone of like stepping into the unknown and taking it on in professional capacities and just like seeing what happens and trying to make it work and trying to make it align with our business objectives. So, with this AI coming out now, it's kind of me going, all right, well, it's just the next thing. And I mean, AI's been around for a long time, but with it being so mainstream and accessible and getting so good with the way that its deep learning is happening, that is, and generative AI, like that is just exciting to me. And so back to answering your question. So I feel optimistic. I'm excited about it. Yes, it's gonna change things. But like day to day, there's always editing tools. Right now, the editing tools are quite good. We do use them at Lead Podcasting. One that I will shout out, if you want to call it that, is Adobe Enhance. So they've just actually come out with a version 2 of this treatment that you can do to audio. And honestly, it saves hours of time on audio repair. Sometimes it doesn't work perfectly, but a lot of the times it does. It works really well. And so I encourage my team, use it. Don't spend the manual hours tinkering away. Run it through this. And if that just jumpstarts your editing process, then heck yeah, do it. Right. So that's definitely one that's part of our processes right now. And the bilingual voice dubbing is another one that's, we are now getting multiple requests for this kind of work. And so those are the two that are on the forefront of my work day to day at the moment.
Shifting gears a little bit now, I was wondering, what do you find most rewarding about your job? And then maybe something a little bit challenging about it.
I would say the most rewarding moments are having people listen back to themselves and are really proud of their voice and their story. Like, that is so special, because there's so many people who are hard on themselves. They don't like their voice. They don't like listening back to their voice. And that's of all ages. I've done workshops for kids too, and they'll say that, I don't like my voice. And it's sad, because our voices are such special things. They're all so unique. And it's what connects us to the world. It's what allows us to communicate with, like, emotion, and communicate instantly. And seeing someone go through that evolution of, like, hating it to then loving it, definitely one of my top most rewarding moments. Challenges. I think, like any creative industry, I think one of the biggest challenges that happens in podcasting, just like others, is, like, being able to bring someone's vision to life when sometimes there isn't a language to describe what the vision is. And so we're doing our best to serve someone's creative vision. But, like, sometimes you just have to go with trial and error. Like, and you can't, there's no, like, describing it anymore. I facilitate brainstorms, and I get as much as I can out of them, which I think is, I've gotten as good as I can at facilitating these brainstorms. I feel good about my presence there, but there's still only so much I can do through conversation versus actually making a thing and being like, is this what you wanted it to sound like? So even an example of picking music for a show, you might say, I want a music that is uplifting and spunky. And then it's like, what does that sound like in a song? Everyone's going to picture that differently. Then I'm going to go pick some songs. And I've had people go, all right, I like that one. Then when we put it into the podcast and actually make the thing, they're like, actually, I hate it. And those are the kinds of creative obstacles that are going to come up no matter what. And you can talk all you want about what song and describing the words and listening to it without it being in the podcast. And then you won't know until you actually make the thing. So I would say figuring that process out and being able to support on that front, I think, can be a challenging aspect of it.
Well, listen, Amanda, thank you so much for coming on the Keeping It Sporty podcast today. I really appreciate it. It is truly an honor to have you on and to share all these stories and to have a wonderful chat today. So thank you so much. And I really admire the work that you're doing.
Thank you. I really appreciate the kind words. And you didn't bring it up this interview, but I think it should be brought up, which is that you are an award-winning podcaster now. And so you're the recipient of the Lead Podcasting Award at Toronto Metropolitan University. And I'm so delighted that this award went to you. Could not think of a better winner this year. So congratulations. And I can't wait to continue to follow what you make.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I'm also, like I said to you many times, I'm honored and very humbled to have received it. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Okay, bye.
Okay, take care. All the best, again, with your business and everything. And we will definitely talk later.
Sounds good. Keep me posted how everything goes.
Sounds good. Thank you. Take care, Amanda.
Bye.